Today is Thursday, August the 16th, 2018, and this is another Creditor's Rights In-Depth Podcast. Today's topic, why is email so stressful, even though it's not actually that time-consuming? And today we're joined by Dori Clark, who is an adjunct professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, and is also the author of Entrepreneurial You, Reinventing You, and Stand Out, which was named the number one leadership book of 2015 by Inc. magazine. Dori is a former presidential campaign spokeswoman. The New York Times described her as an expert at self-reinvention and helping others make changes in their lives. Also a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review, she consults and speaks for clients including Google, Microsoft, and the World Bank. She's also a producer of a multi-Grammy Award-winning jazz album, and you can download her free Entrepreneurial You self-assessment workbook and learn more at DoriClark.com/entrepreneur. Dori, welcome to the National Creditors Bar Association podcast series.
Mark, I'm glad to be speaking with you. Thank you.
Excellent. So email, and as I was getting ready for today, I was going through the 100 or so that typically come through, and you both in doing your consulting business as well as being an adjunct professor, I'm sure, had reason to delve into this particular topic. So why? Let me start off by asking, why do you think email is so burdensome for so many of us?
Well, email is just sort of this constant death by a thousand cuts. I think most professionals have certainly experienced, frequently, if not all the time, a sense of overwhelm that comes with it. Because a study by the Radicati Group showed that the average professional sends or receives about close to 130 email messages per day. So it's a relatively large volume, and it never stops. It comes in during the night while you're away. As we're recording this, this is the summertime, so people may be on vacation, and they often will come back to this feeling of dread because they know that email has been building up while they've been away, and so there's almost like a punishment that that happens to you as a result of taking time away from it. So it's very much a taskmaster that has come to rule many professionals' lives.
And I would assume that it cuts across all industries, all professions, all cultures, that it's a global phenomenon in any of us that are in the business world, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only people in some ways who are unaffected by email are people who haven't entered the workforce yet. There's periodically these think pieces that come out in the media about, oh, is email dead? Because they interview, 12-year-olds or 16-year-olds, and they say, oh, do you use email? And they say, no, email's so boring. Email's so uncool. We use Instagram. We use, messaging apps. And of course they do. They don't have work projects that they need to do. But the corporate world does and will continue to run on email, and that it has become a rather impenetrable fact of life that we face. So yes, it is across industries, it is across cultures and levels of responsibility. We're pretty much all in this together.
Well, so given that, obviously, you were introspective enough to try to understand, why it was so burdensome for yourself as a professional, and you undertook an experiment. Can you give us some description and tell us a little bit about what that experiment looked like?
I did. So in February of this year, I decided that I wanted to try to understand my email usage patterns a little bit better. I figured if it was something that was so stressful and so vexing for me, and of course for a lot of other people as well, that I could really benefit from having a more fine-grained understanding of what was actually going on. How was I using my time with email? How much time was I actually spending? And so during the month of February, I tracked every single email that I received. I wanted to see who was writing me. What did they want? And so I kept meticulous records and broke things down by categories so that I could get a sense of what the overall volume was, both in terms of numbers of emails that I received and of course, in terms of what the tasks were so that I could get a handle on it. And certainly in doing that, I learned a lot of pretty interesting things, which I ended up writing about in a piece for the Harvard Business Review.
Well, since I had read that piece, I'm still sitting on the edge of my seat because I know that our listeners on the other end of this call here will be very interested to hear what your findings were, and I thought that they were just amazing, which prompted me to reach out to you for this. So can you share with our listeners here, what did you find from your experiment?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. So the first thing that I learned, actually to my surprise, was that I actually spent less time on email than I had thought, which was a bit counterintuitive. I spent about 1.35 hours per day on email, which, you know, it's not insignificant, but I also spent much more time doing other things that I would consider strategically my priorities, you know, times with clients or times prospecting for clients, you know, things like that that have a clear ROI. I was somehow envisioning I was spending 3 or 4 hours a day on email. And so one thing that that told me was that it carried a disproportionate psychological weight. Even if I wasn't actually spending that time on email, it was causing a disproportionate amount of stress. And that was something that needed to be looked at. It wasn't so much the overall numbers of emails. It was its impact on my life and on my mood and mentality. The second thing that I think was most critical in my findings, Mark, was about the number of requests that I received. And what I mean by that is, you know, people email you for lots of different reasons, of course. Sometimes people want, you know, to just share information. Oh, here's, you know, FYI, here's that report. Or, you know, sometimes they want to offer you something. Oh, you know, Mark, can I help you with XYZ? But a lot of times people are emailing you because they have a request of some sort. And in my case, it was everything from invitations from friends, you know, hey, let's hang out, to strangers who were emailing me and asking, would I introduce them to someone, or would I look over their blog posts, or, you know, all these kinds of things. What I discovered was a full 12% of the emails that I received were people asking me to do things. So this came out to about 10 requests per day. And some were very easy to turn down. I mean, you know, if it's a stranger asking you to do something onerous, you say no. But many were challenging. You know, it was somebody who was a friend or an acquaintance, and they, you know, they wanted a favor of some sort. And it was very helpful for me in terms of making an evaluation on its own. If that was the only thing going on in my life, I'd probably say yes. But once I actually realized, you know what, Dory, you're getting 10 of these requests per day, it helped me be a lot more focused on understanding, no, I need to focus on my priorities, not everybody else's priorities.
Well, that's so you came to work with your own to-do list and not even recognizing the fact that you were getting 10 more things added every day onto your to-do list.
That's exactly right, yes. Yeah. And in fact, there's a famous line that your inbox is someone else's to-do list for you.
And so I would assume that in many cases, you know, when you speak of that example, you know, in terms of it being the number of requests, they all have some sense, and I don't know if it's just email or if it's other forms of electronic communication that take on this sense of urgency that doesn't quite exist when you're talking with somebody in person.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So obviously now that you had found, you know, all of this, you needed to take a different approach, or you chose to take a different approach to your how you addressed, you know, your email situations and the requests that were coming through, the information that was coming through. Two-part question. One, what did you notice differently as you began to change it and address it differently? And what were some of those things that you did to help sort of reshape your whole approach to email in your profession?
Yeah. One of the things that I changed was I realized oftentimes I was making extra work for myself, and I had to learn to catch myself and stop myself from doing it, which has made a big difference. So, for instance, if I was going to decline a request, I often felt kind of kind of guilty about it. And so in order to soften the blow, I would say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I can't do this, but maybe I can help you find someone else. And then, you know, I realized, okay, on one hand, I'm saving time because I'm not doing the thing that they wanted me to do. But on the other hand, I now have this homework assignment of like, well, who could do that? Maybe can I email them? Oh, okay. If they can't do it, who else? Can I do an e-intro? And so it was actually adding to the burden in some ways. And so I realized that sometimes I have to be clearer and more disciplined about just say no. Just say no, sorry, afraid I can't help you with that. Thank you so much and wishing you the best. And just end it there. There's ways of being too helpful that can come back to haunt your productivity.
Sure.
So I think that was a chief thing. And then the other thing is that I became much more strategic about prioritizing my emails. Often I would feel previously like I had to answer every email and I had to answer them all in a fairly tight time frame. But what I came to realize is that there's actually relatively few emails that have real strategic priority. I mean, you know, you don't want to be rude, of course, but when it comes to an email that is actually mission critical, there's very few of them. And if you can simply just get good at identifying which ones those are, usually they relate somehow to clients or business or prospective business that you're trying to close, things like that. If you can focus on that, you know, use the star feature in your inbox. You know, star those and make sure you say, you know what, those I'm going to respond to in 24 hours or less or 12 hours or less or whatever the appropriate time frame is depending on the circumstance. That actually alleviates a lot of the psychological worry because, yes, it would be great to respond to every email in a super timely fashion. But especially if you're traveling, if you're busy, you can't necessarily do it. But you will feel a lot better if you know that you have responded to the ones that actually, truly are most strategically salient.
In your work since the experiment, as well as in your consulting and your teaching, have you found anything that you've been dealing with relative to sort of an organizational approach towards how to deal with communications and email? And I only asked this, our management team was meeting this past Friday, and we were just talking about, you know, we always get the same, you know, tons of email, and how do we know what's important to you versus what's important to me? And so we sort of came up with a very rudimentary paradigm of, you know, well, if you're only CC, then it's just information for you. But if there's an action item, put whose name and what the action is actually in the body of the email so they know what it is that you want done. Just as a way of sort of clarifying, well, we're a small team. I don't know if you've come across that in any other organizations that you've been working with.
Yeah, I think the key of what you were doing, Mark, which is great, is just making sure that everybody's on the same page about what the process is. In many ways, it doesn't actually matter what it is or how you do it. Email is just a tool. It's one of many tools. But as long as the team is speaking the same language around the tool, you know, as long as everybody understands, oh, if I'm only CC'd, then it's not a big deal, then perfect. Everybody knows how to proceed. So I think it's the having a unanimous understanding is useful. In terms of different experiments with email, and different ways for companies to communicate, there have certainly been things tried. I mean, companies at the enterprise level are very aware that email and email oversaturation is a big deal for people. So there have been some experiments with companies that have required associates, for instance, to take one day off email per week, you know, one weekend day off per week, or you know, they'll actually freeze it, so you're not even allowed to send emails after, say, 6 p.m. There's a lot of different experiments that have gone on like that. Another more common scenario that you see is there's a lot of companies that are using tools like Slack, for instance, which is a messaging software, sort of a project-based messaging software, which people feel that Slack is not good typically for communication with external folks, with external clients. But if you're talking about communicating within a team, Slack is actually a pretty good way of doing it because it takes the conversation off the email, so there's fewer messages in your inbox to distract you, and it creates a very easily searchable record of the communications. So so that you can go back and say, oh, wait, what, you know, what was the date that we were supposed to have the blah, blah, blah done? And you can sift very easily through the chain of communications and find that. So I think for certain circumstances, there's strategies that could be interesting.
Excellent. So if you were, and I know that as everybody's listening to this, thinking of the fact that they are spending a few minutes now listening to a podcast and they may be trying to multitask, but if they were really good, they were paying attention instead, and now their email has filled up some more in their box. If they were going to think about one thing in terms of managing their inbox, you know, how would you want to, what would you want them to walk away with today in terms of something that, that each of us might do to help better manage our inboxes?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, Mark, that I discovered, again, going back to a point that I raised previously, is that in many ways it's not so much the volume of emails that's a problem as it is the psychological burden that email exacts on us. And I know, for instance, before I really got control of my inbox, that I would very frequently, just throughout the course of my day, you know, I'd be walking to a meeting or I'd be having lunch or something like that, and I would just have this flash where I would say, oh, God, I need to email so-and-so, and I forgot to send that email. And it would be very, very stressful, and it would just kind of come up and flash in my mind. And so ultimately, what I think would be the most useful thing to do is for people to actually go through their inbox, set aside, it doesn't have to be long, set aside an hour, though, this would be great, and put a star next to every message that you have felt in the past week or two, a pang that you have not responded to. If it is causing you psychological stress, star it, mark it down, and then sometime in the next few days, spend one other hour just responding to those messages. You don't have to respond to everything. You don't have to do it now. But if you can get off the plate the ones that are psychologically tormenting you because you have not gotten back to that person, you will feel a million pounds lighter.
Dory, what great advice. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day and your busy schedule to spend with us here and the members of the National Creditors Bar Association. I know if they want to find more information, they can go to doryclark.com, and they can either do the /entrepreneur, or they can just find everything they need there at doryclark.com. Great.
That's
Thank
great.
So
yes,
much,
there's
Dory.
More than 500 free articles, so if folks want to really take a deep dive into productivity, there's a lot there. Mark, thank you for having me. It's really been a pleasure.
Excellent. You have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.